Tirada v nebi je Ježiš Ivane Taj. Om Namo Bhagavate.
Second canto, chapter 3, text number 8.
Dharmartha uttama shlokam tantuh tanman pitranjajet rakshakama punyajana ojaskamo marudganan. Dharmartha uttama shlokam tantu tanman pitranjaje rakshakama punyajana ojaskamo marudgana. Dharmartha uttama shlokam tantu tanman pitranjaje rakshakama punyajana rojaskamo marudgana. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We are reading from this chapter on pure devotional service. The subsequent verses that will follow this are very strong verses in this chapter. Because this chapter is establishing pure devotional service. We will find in the second canto of Bhagavatam, it begins with the personal conception of the Lord, which is Virat Purusha. Very, very gross conception of the personality of God in the material world. Especially for those who are materialistic minded, for them, that Virat Purusha conception was explained. The first chapter. And then the second chapter is Lord in the heart. Isn't it? That is second chapter. The Paramatma conception is explained. So that is more advanced. And here in pure devotional service, the Bhagavan is explained. How to approach the personality of God, Godhead, Sri Krishna. So gradually, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit how the progressive devotee should have a better and better understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So, in the beginning of this chapter we find, like in the last few verses and today's verse also, there is some talk going on about approaching the demigods for various material benefits. Just like in the modern times, modern man gets anything and everything done by the invention of the scientists. Like anything you want, you go to some scientist. If anything new annually has to be invented. In the same manner, in the Vedic life, anything you want, people would do worship of demigods. And one would get that. It's not that it worked only in Vedic times. It works at all times. But in the modern times, people don't have patience to study the scriptures and worship the demigods and get the benefits. Like we saw, if somebody wants to have power, they should worship Lord Rudra. Somebody wants to have progeny, they should worship the Prajapatis. Somebody wants to have sex power, they should worship Indra. Many things are said like that. Different. Somebody should worship Durga Devi and different personalities. So, all this, different kinds of rewards that one can get by the worship given in the previous verse are all within the purview of the material world. So they are all called as material desires. That's what they call material desires. And here, in today's verse, it is said, one should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement in knowledge. Now it is introduced here about the spiritual desire. So, Prabhupada used to often say in many of his purports, a pure devotee has no material desire. Which means, it doesn't mean a pure devotee has to be poverty stricken, wearing tattered clothes, wandering in the road like a beggar. Sometimes a pure devotee may be going in a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce. Somebody, a pure devotee, may be found in an Oberoi hotel, 14th floor. But wherever a pure devotee may be, it makes no difference for him. If he is sitting in a Cadillac or in a bullock cart, it's all the same for him. Whether he is sitting in Oberoi, the 14th floor, or he is sitting under a tree and doing kirtan, it's all the same for him. If he is wearing a silk kurta or silk dhoti, or he is wearing a tree bark, it's all the same for him. That's the meaning of a pure devotee. Pure devotee means the material things don't affect him. The changing the material facilities and conveniences and comforts and luxuries and change in material situations, they do not have any influence in the mind or heart of a pure devotee. That's the meaning of a pure devotee. It's all the same for him. So, a pure devotee is free from material desire, which means he does not have any material aspirations at all. In fact, it is only the material aspiration that has brought us into this material world. Once Prabhupada was telling in one Bhagavatam class that the living entity who gets a material desire to be independent of Krishna, he is made a Brahma first in the material world. And in this way, Prabhupada made a statement that every living entity becomes Brahma, Prabhupada said. When the class was over, there was a lot of discussion amongst devotees. So one devotee was telling, actually I think Prabhupada meant that every living entity is born into the Brahma Loka. Because Brahma Loka has many, many stages in science, thousands and millions of them. So he must be born into Brahma Loka, and then, otherwise, how can every living entity become Brahma? Then after the class was over, they went to Prabhupada and asked clarification. And Prabhupada said, yes. Yes, I told you that every living entity becomes Brahma, Prabhupada said. And then Prabhupada said, do you think it is difficult for Krishna to give one universe to every living entity? Prabhupada asked, why do you underestimate Krishna's power? So, and then they were saying, but Prabhupada, Brahma, after perfecting his life, he goes back to Godhead. If every living entity goes to one universe, perfects life and goes back, then what will happen to other living entities in the universe? And then Prabhupada said, no, every Brahma doesn't become perfect. There are many Brahmas in universe. They come, they also fall down to human level or animal kingdom. They can fall down afterwards. But in the beginning, every living entity was given one universe, Prabhupada said. So in this way, to answer the material desires of the living entity, Krishna gives them the facility. Like you find there is a cyber cafe, one center, they have put the name My Own Planet. When I saw that, I remembered immediately. See, we all wanted our own planet. That's why we are sent. Not only our own planet, our own universe. That's why we are given one loka, one brahmanda. Take it and go. It's your brahmanda. You create and you expand and you enjoy. Living entity enjoys separately from Krishna with the material desires. At one time, there was some Sudama Vipraswami. There were some talks going on about his activities. So the news came to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada called him and told them, and Prabhupada often used to quote this, big, big monkey, big, big belly, saloon jumping, melancholy. You know this? Prabhupada was quoting him this and said, Don't become a big, big monkey. What is the meaning of that slogan that Prabhupada would quote? When Lord Ram wanted the monkeys to find out information about Sita, then all the monkeys went up to the seashore. But then they saw it was a vast ocean. They didn't know how to jump to the other side. So, although there were many huge monkeys who were very, very big in size, they had big bellies also. Big, big monkeys, big, big bellies. Ceylon jumping, melancholy means all the monkeys were in melancholy because they could not jump. They said, oh, that is not possible for us. They were saying. So, Prabhupada used to say in the same, only Hanuman could do. Hanuman could jump off and go to the other side. Because some monkeys said, I can't jump such a distance. One monkey said, I can jump, but I can't return back. Once I jump, then I need a long rest for a long time. I can't jump back. So only Hanuman could jump and go and come back. So in the same manner, Prabhupada said, if one is offered a big position, sometimes owing to accepting that material position, one may become proud and one may misuse that position. And bring disgrace to oneself and to others. So then one becomes like that big monkey. He said, don't become like that. Prabhupada is talking. And then Prabhupada is telling, then why you people are so eager for taking sannyas? Prabhupada is saying. Although Prabhupada was humorous and he was joking, at the same time he was serious also. Because in those days, Prabhupada said, every week I am getting a few petitions of my disciples for taking sannyas. Why you are so eager for taking sannyas? So Jayapada Goswami Maharaj was around. So he was telling Prabhupada, if they take sannyas, then they'll be, relieved of doing so many activities, so many services themselves. Rather, they will have many servants to serve them. And then Prabhupada said, no, sannyas means you become servant of everyone. One should be serving everyone, not that you take service. And Jayapada Goswami also was telling him that Prabhupada, one gets a lot of Mahaprasad. And Hridayananda Maharaj was around. He was telling, if they go out of India, they will get nothing. You will not get such Mahaprasad anywhere. So, Prabhupada was telling at that point of time that how taking sannyas is a very serious business. One should become free from this kind of petty desires to take sannyas. At that time, Isvana Jayapada Goswami Maharaj asked a very brilliant question. He asked, Prabhupada, some devotees are talking in our movement that if you take sannyas, you will get the strength to give up all material desires. Some people are saying like that. Or, should you give up material desires and then take sannyas? Which is correct? One who has given up material desires should be taking sannyas, or one should take sannyas to get the strength to give up material desires. Prabhupada has made it very clear, no ambiguity. He said, if you want to take sannyas, you should have no material desires. He said, if you have material desires, you should become a grihastha. Prabhupada said very clearly. It's a very straight answer. And he said, one who is taking sannyas, he should not be looking down to the pleasures of this material world, like wealth or women or followers or comforts or luxuries. One should not be looking for any of these things at all. Although they will come. Actually they come because Krishna sends them. They will come anyway. But a devotee will not care for them, even though such facilities may come. Sometimes he may be, as he told you, he may be traveling in a Cadillac car. Another time he may be going in a bullock cart. For a devotee, it doesn't make any difference. So Prabhupada said, one should wait to see that the material desires are eradicated before one takes sannyas. So, there is a lot of talk that goes on in the scriptures about material desires. The material desire, to put it in simple terms, is a desire separate from Krishna. Anybody who wants to enjoy anything separate from Krishna is material desire. Often material desire is given another definition. Material desire means people say, for example, the materials of this world, which are made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, these are materials in the material world, isn't it? If anything is made up of these things, and if we develop attraction for them, that is often called as a material desire. Say for example, you have attraction for a bungalow, attraction for a car, or attraction for opposite sex, or attraction for gold, attraction for such valuables, or attraction for land, acquiring land and becoming proprietor. These are called the material desires. Actually, it is true that we develop attraction for these things in this world. That is also called material desire. But one may have all these things and still not be attached to them. Somebody is born with these things. Like you see our Ambarish Prabhu Ford. He is born with so much money. He is called as a billionaire bhakt. But he has no attachment to that money. Similarly, somebody is born with lot of land, lot of facilities, but they are not attached to it. So, when one is not attached to it, but one is possessing it, that means a person has no material desires. He may possess it. Simply because somebody is possessing doesn't mean he has material desire. For example, if you find a man with a beautiful wife, husband and wife, you can't say that this man has material desire because he is married. No. He may have a wife by will of providence, by arrangement, it's made, he is married. But he is not attached to her. He is seeing her as Krishna Dasi. He is seeing himself as Krishna Das. That is why possessing the material things of this world cannot be counted as material desire. Because by one's destiny, these things may be arranged. But developing attachment for them is called material desire. For that matter, even a renunciate who has apparently externally given up the material objects and pleasurable things of the material world and taken to the renounced order, externally one might give them up, but whether one is free from material desires will be known by what is the quality of his consciousness. Whether he still is attached to them, is he still hankering for them, is he longing to have them. It depends on that, whether one has material desires. So that is made very clear. So in the heart of any conditioned soul, there is a constant hankering for these things, what we are talking now. There is a story that appears in Mahabharata when the Pandavas are going to forest. You know, Yudhishthira Maharaj is always very stable in his emotions and very patient and very tolerant and always follows the path of dharma. So when the Pandavas had to leave the kingdom behind and go into the forest, at that time, when they were about to walk into the forest, the Brahmanas were surrounding them. They said, "We also want to come with you." So Yudhishthira Maharaj told them, "I am very sorry to say no to all of you. You all have to stay behind. Because in the forest there may be beasts, there may be reptiles, and besides that, in forest what will you get to eat? You know, in forest all you will get is some roots and fruits. We are going to subsist on those things." So they told the Brahmanas, Yudhishthira Maharaj told the Brahmanas that, "I am feeling so ashamed that I am not able to offer you charity. When I had Indraprastha, I was at one time serving thousands of Brahmins with cows in charity, with sumptuous food, prasad, with gold and silver, with everything. Now I have nothing to give. I have become a pauper now." And he was crying. Yudhishthira Maharaj was crying. He said, "All my brothers are upset with me because of my behavior." And he said, "Fie upon the sons of Dhritarashtra," he said, "because of whom we are unable to perform our dharma of taking care of the Brahmanas." And he told the Brahmanas, "Please kindly remain here. Don't come with us. We will proceed ahead." So the leader of the Brahmins, his name was Shaunaka. Shaunaka said, "My dear Yudhishthira, do not worry about us. We will procure whatever we need on our way. Whatever comes our way, we will also take care of ourselves. In fact, we will entertain you with Vedic chant when you are coming with us in the forest. And he said, do not worry about our well-being. We will take care of ourselves. So, then in fact, Shaunaka Rishi was telling him that do not lament like this, he said. He said, the root cause of all attachment in this material world is material desire for acquiring wealth and for acquiring possessions. He said, that material desire is like a fire spark in the hollow of a tree. In the hollow of a tree, if there is a fire spark, it will burn down the whole tree. So do not harbor any desire for acquiring wealth, he said. Between acquiring wealth and acquiring virtue, you should fix your mind on acquiring virtues, not on acquiring wealth. When Yudhishthira heard it, he replied, in fact, Yudhishthira has heard this kind of good advice from so many sages, so many times, that acquiring wealth is material desire, attachment to gold and silver and land and woman and all these things are material desires. It's not new for him. But Yudhishthira Maharaj heard him with great attention, as if he is hearing for the first time. Why one should hear with great attention? Despite hearing a million times, the material desires don't go away so easily. So one should always be contemplating on giving up material desires and acquiring spiritual desires. So Shaunaka Rishi, he told him that those people who develop such attachment, they have 1,000 things to grieve and 100 things to fear in this world. They can never be peaceful, he said. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj, for his turn, he inquired, that my dear great Brahmana, please tell me, I am not eager for getting wealth for my enjoyment. I am eager to get wealth to serve the Brahmanas. In fact, is it not true that a grihastha's dharma is to acquire wealth and serve the brahmacharis and renunciates and the Brahmanas? Is it not the duty of the grihastha to receive the travelers and the guests in their place and serve them with food and drinks and charity? Is it not the duty of a grihastha? And I am desiring to acquire wealth only for that purpose. Now please, comment on this. What do you feel? He asked him. So that Brahman Shaunaka, he said, very interesting statement he made. He said, the good and honest people, whatever they feel ashamed about, the mean-minded people enjoy them as great pleasures in this world. I'll tell you what it is. He's saying the good and honest people feel ashamed about certain things, but the mean-minded people, they enjoy them with great delight. He said, when one gets the objects of this world, as soon as the senses come in contact with the sense objects, immediately a desire arises in the heart. And one puts oneself in the role of an enjoyer. Even if one is following the path of virtue, and one may be a good person, honest person, sometimes he becomes bewildered by the illusory energy. When he comes across things like gold and silver, woman and wealth and material facilities, when one gets these things, a desire arises in one's heart. And then being captivated by the illusory energy, one becomes a sense enjoyer. And one becomes blinded by passion, he said. And in such, afflicted by illusory energy, one becomes an enjoyer and one gets lost and one becomes forgetful. In fact, one follows the dictates of the mind and follows the dictates of the mind so carefully, he simply becomes a servant of his belly and sense organs. He simply becomes a servant, he said. In this way, one may say that I am accumulating wealth for serving the Brahmins, but ultimately one may end up using that wealth for one's own enjoyment rather than serving the Brahmins, he said. So, the sage said, my dear Yudhishthira, you have already served Brahmins and saints very well in your life. When you are very wealthy, you have rendered very good service. At that time, by will of providence, by Lord's arrangement, you got wealth. And with that wealth, you already served Brahmins by giving charity. Now, it is Lord's arrangement that you don't have any wealth, you are poverty stricken. In such a time, one's mind should not contemplate on acquiring wealth. Rather, your mind should be fixed in virtue. So here we learn a very valuable lesson. That all of us, we are born into this world according to our own will of providence with certain facilities. Sometimes people say that, you know, before joining ISKCON, I was not so educated. You know, I didn't study in, you know, very reputed college and acquire some big degree. Somehow or other, Harakshana devotees, you know, introduced me to Krishna consciousness and I joined. So now I think, if I get a degree, it will be very nice to, you know, expand preaching, because I can get a degree from a reputed university abroad and then come back, and then with that degree I will preach very nicely. So with this desire, some people went, even after becoming brahmacharis, sannyasis, they went into foreign universities and they studied for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years sometimes. You know. So after becoming a mendicant, to again go back to school and study there after 4 or 5 years. And then when they come back, whether it really helped them to preach and expand, this question mark comes. One is Great Vidwan Gauranga Prabhu from Mayapur. He has written an article in ISKCON Communications Journal. So he writes there how a devotee who joined our movement was preaching very nicely. But when they go back to the school, colleges, sometimes they go back to the materialistic atmosphere, because of which they come across so many kinds of theories, bogus theories. They come across so many kinds of materialistic people. And their association, it actually thwarts the Krishna consciousness of the devotee. Because of which the devotee gradually becomes materialistic in mind. So by the time he finishes the degree and comes back again into the company of devotees, the potency is gone. One is not able to forcefully preach. On the other hand, if a devotee simply remained in the company of devotees and practiced very sincerely, even without the degree, he would have more spiritual potency and purity to purify the hearts of the people. Even without the degree. So we don't need to acquire anything in life to propagate devotion service. Whatever comes of its own accord, or Krishna has given us, we can be satisfied with that. Like for example, if somebody is not wealthy, if somebody is a mediocre in wealth, for example, in society, with that mediocre wealth, whatever devotion service he is able to perform, he can do that. If somebody says, I will take a big loan, or I'll put my money in shares, so much money I'll get, and then I will give a big chunk of that money to Krishna's service. Sometimes people invest a big money in the shares, and then now you know the situation now. And then when they lose the big money, you don't know where is Krishna, where is Rama, where am I? Everything is reeling, head is reeling, isn't it? So, yesterday I was talking to one gentleman. He was telling me how India is in a much more safer position with respect to recession than America. And he was telling the reason why. It is mainly because of the Indian mentality of saving habit. Indians are very stingy in spending. Very, very, whatever they earn, they have a tendency to save. And they always spend little. And that is a very good habit. It comes from the Vedic culture. Vedic culture means saving. You know, there's a saying that, you know, you should always cut the chappal leg size. Not cut the leg chappal size. You know? Because, you know, yeah. For example, if I'm earning 5,000 rupees, then I should have expenditure within 5,000. Not that I spend 8,000 and go for a credit card or something, you know. And, you know, go for some loan or something. So he was telling, this Indian habit has saved India to a great extent, he was telling. Although there is some recession, especially in cosmopolitan cities. When I called South India, they were asking, what is the spelling of recession? They said, we don't know. They said, we don't know, recession is going on. In many places people are quite peaceful in India even now. Because they, you know, because people have been saving always. And besides that, if you see in America, for example, I heard that the loans they give 120-140% they were saying, they give, like generally in India, you are selling that in India they will see your salary and accordingly they will give you a loan. But in America they give you beyond your salary also. Because of which the American companies have crumbled in a very big way. And you are selling, the recession in America will go for 2 more years. 2 or 3 years. And India it may end in about 6 to 8 months, you are selling. So, what we understand is, this has a strong connection to material desires. Like, you know, saving habit and spending habit, they are two are opposites. And the spending habit means too many material desires. So we spend too much, extravagantly. It's a habit. Hands are itching to spend. Take out the money, keep on giving out. As soon as the salary pack comes, people keep spending. And when the money gets exhausted, go for credit card. You get maxed out on credit card and you are, you know, paying check after check you are paying, and still a person will want to buy new things. It's a bad habit actually. So, we learn from this statement of Shaunaka to Yudhishthira that, you know, whatever God has given you, learn to live within those parameters and be Krishna conscious. Focus on that. Don't become greedy. Because we don't know about tomorrow, how situation is going to be. Today is the best situation. So, when today is available with us, one should be contented. Contentment is very important. Overambition is dangerous. So, and he told him, that great kings in the past, when they were in your situation, he told you this, sir, when they were in your situation, they always performed asceticism. And by their spiritual prowess, they protected their citizens. So, if you take shelter of Krishna, you will become pure, you will become elevated, and Krishna will give you intelligence how to protect your citizens. And by that you will be able to protect them, he said. Don't be lamenting and mourning for not having the material wealth. And Ishmara thanked him very much. So, the Vedic life condemns chasing after the material mirage. This chase actually makes us mad. Mad for material enjoyment. It's called as a matta. Matta, pramatta, unmatta. Matta means mad. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. Unmatta means gone kiss. In this way, one becomes more and more mad. You will find sometimes even amongst the devotee circle, you may find somebody is coming to Krishna consciousness. In the early days, the person was blissfully chanting, dancing, very happy. Suddenly, the material desires arise in the heart and a person's face becomes morose. And he develops a lot of anxieties. How will this happen? How will that happen? I have to accumulate this, I have to accumulate that, I have to get this, I have to get that. Unnecessary anxieties afflict the heart. Because the mind is contemplating on some material desire. That's the whole point. So these material desires are there. Each of us, we have to take an inventory of material desires in our own heart. We have to see. Some of us may have attraction for gold and silver. Some of us may have attraction for opposite sex. Somebody may have attraction for a beautiful bungalow. Once Prabhupada was walking with, who was that? Gargamuni, I think, Gargarishi Prabhu. They were walking and they saw beautiful bungalows. Fine bungalows, colorful and everything. Gargarishpu, not Gargarishpu, I don't know who is the other one. He was watching with the mouth, open mouth. That's what he was watching. And Prabhupada looked at his face and he was saying like that, Prabhupada. He said, you are attracted to these buildings. What are they made up of? Simply some earth, water, fire. They're combined together and you are becoming so attracted to it. So, but some people's minds are maddened by seeing marble houses. And attractive facilities. Yeah. Similarly, the material things of the world certainly cause a fascination to the heart of a materially minded living entity. Conditioned soul. So, now what to do with the material desires if we know that I have a material desire? Actually, as one's age progresses, Body may get old, but the material desires don't die off on their own. There's a beautiful verse spoken by Gajendra. And that verse, he says, the ignorance in our heart does not get eradicated by the passing of time. He says, Ichami kalena nayasya viplava. He says, they don't go away on their own. Simply if you are waiting, it will not go away. We have to make an endeavor from our side to destroy the material desires, to eradicate them. They are like seeds. And the seeds can sprout and grow into a plant, into a tree, and may produce misery fruits, which we only have to eat later. They are like karela, bitter gourd. Those fruits will be produced eventually. The fruits produced from material desires. Very painful. Whether we like or not, we have to eat it. So, what to do with the material desires? That's why Shankara says in that wonderful prayer, Tadapina munchati asha pindam. What is that verse? Andam galitam balitam mundam dachanavihinam jatahtundam vridoyata grihitvadandam tadapina munchati asha pindam. He's saying, you know, as a man grows old, his body, which is like a beautiful doll made of wax. You've seen this, what is it? Barbie doll, you know? You've seen? You know Barbie doll? So like our bodies are like Barbie dolls when we are young. Very beautiful, like a wax, hale and healthy. But when we grow, just like a candle doll melts. Similarly, our body, our beauty also starts melting. Goes away. That is why we should not be attracted to opposite sex in youth. Because it's all melting beauty. Like a melting candle beauty. It'll go away over a period of time. Andam galitam palitam mundam, he says. And in young age, you can see people have thick black jet hair. And they keep on combing it in different directions. Sometimes they go to the saloon, and there they go for 24 types of hairstyles they have nowadays. They go for some special style. I like this style, that style. But then when we get old, everyone has the same style. All the hair is gone. Isn't it? That's why he says. Similarly, in young age, sometimes we appreciate the row of teeth. Some people have, sometimes for this toothpaste advertisement, they put some photos of people who have a very nice row of teeth. Isn't it? White and shining. When they open their mouth, it's very beautifully shining. But when you get old, when you open the mouth, there are many out, 2, 3, 4 out. Only one here, one there. You find rarely. So in this way, we find that as one grows older and older, the external beauty is lost. The potency of our senses, like the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, similarly hands, legs, genitals, rectum, and speech, all these things go down. Voice is faltering because of mucus in the throat. Similarly, one doesn't have the ability to enjoy life, enjoy the senses. But the material desires are not gone. That's why he says, tadapina munchati asha pindam. Even after getting old. So what the Shastras say, before you get old, when you are young, perform tapasya. Because human life is meant for tapasya. By performing tapasya, destroy the material desires. When they are destroyed, when we get old, we will be like free bird. Every material desire is like a chain that handcuffs us. You know how a thief is handcuffed? Both the hands are handcuffed together. So the freedom is lost. So material desires, they handcuff us. Catching our hand, catching our leg, catching our head. We are tied completely with material desires. So those ties should be cut off when we are young. Especially hale and healthy, by using the body, mind and senses in devotional service, one should transcend the material desires, go beyond them, destroy the material desires. And as the material desires are destroyed, one's heart will become very simple. When heart is very simple and not complex, because the mind and heart, they should not be planning for enjoying material world. If that plan making business has stopped, we are engaged in large service, then our mind will be peaceful, heart will be joyful, senses will be calm, and intelligence will be focused and pinpointed in attaining Krishna. So, in this way, Shaunaka Muni told Yudhishthira Maharaj, that do not lament that you don't have wealth. Whatever wealth is given by the Lord, you engage it in service of Brahmins and everything. When you don't have it, perform asceticism for glorifying the Lord. And by that, you will get solution to your questions in life. And Yusuf Maharaj thanked him and offered obeisances. When they were proceeding in the forest, Daumya Rishi was the one who was walking in the front, who is also the guru of the Pandavas. So he went to Daumya Rishi and asked him, "My dear great sage, my heart is still painful to see that I am not able to serve some food to the Brahmins, and which is my dharma. Now, I am ready to perform any asceticism that you might tell me, like Shaunaka Rishi told me. But you give me some guidance, what I should do." And Daumya Rishi told him, in the times of the old, long ago, there was a great scarcity in the world. People were not having any food and anything. So they offered their prayers to Surya Devata. And the Surya Devata absorbed the water from the ocean, and the moon cooled those waters and made a cloud, and then it showered down in the form of rains, and then people got the grains, and they all became very happy. He said, "I will teach you some chant for the Surya, which you chant so many times," he said, "but you have to perform austerity." He said, "You have to fast for many days, even from water and grains. You have to avoid sleep also." And he did that, Krishna Maharaj. You know, he went into the Ganges up to his chest. He submerged himself in Ganges up to chest, and he performed this chant. And Surya, you know, blazing in the sky, he came down, and he gave his darshan, and he appreciated Yudhishthira for his penance. And he gave a huge copper plate, big plate of copper, which we call as a magic perennial bowl. It's actually a plate. So he gave him the plate and said, "My dear Yudhishthira, the desire you have for serving Brahmins is very noble. Here is this plate. Whatever meal Draupadi Panchali, she cooks in the morning and she keeps on this plate, that food will be, you know, perennially coming out of this plate. Any amount of quantity will come until Panchali eats this. And then she washes it and keeps it for that day." And then Yudhishthira Maharaj picked it up and took it, and he went to the brothers, and they were all very happy. And then on, you find how he is serving the Brahmins with that. He is serving the Brahmins with the magic perennial bowl in the forest. They all got good prasad every day. So now, a question may arise in the mind of the hearers of this pastime. Why he did not depend on Krishna? Why he worshipped the Surya Devata? You know, forgetting this. Actually, you find the Surya Devata who gave him the magic perennial bowl, he could not help him when Durvasa came. Isn't it? When Durvasa Muni came with 10,000 disciples. Because already the plate was washed and kept. And it wouldn't produce any more after that. Nor could Surya come and tell that, "I will again allow you to produce more." He didn't do that. So Krishna had to come. Krishna came and helped. Not only Krishna came and helped them in that most difficult situation, but Krishna made not only Durvasana and all the 10,000 disciples become completely satisfied with bloating stomachs. After that, they had to run away from there without coming to eat. You find that. So you find Krishna telling the Pandavas sometimes to worship Durga before the battle of Kurukshetra. You'll find that. They go to the Durga temple, they worship. You also find Rukmini going to the Durga temple also, before meeting Krishna. You find that. So to worship Durga, or you find Krishna telling Arjuna to worship Shiva to get the Pashupatastra. You find that also. So the Pandavas are pure devotees. They would not propitiate any demigods for their personal welfare. They would not do that. Even in this particular case, you find when he prayed to Surya, he did not want anything for himself. He didn't want even this magic perennial bowl to feed his wife and his brothers and family. He did not ask for that. He only wanted a facility for serving the Brahmins. And that direction was given by Daumya Rishi also. He didn't do it independently. These two things we understand from that. Of course, The Pandavas are Kshatriya kings. And Kshatriya kings, they set an example for all the public, and they would, this kind of things they did. In our movement, Srila Prabhupada, one devotee asked Prabhupada, whether we can have a Ganesh ji, so that we can worship Ganesh, and Ganesh will give us lot of money, and with that lot of money we can expand preaching of Krishna consciousness movement. So in our temple, along with Radha Krishna, can we also have a big Ganesh ji also? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can have a Ganesh ji, no problem. Only weekly once you should send me $20,000. Prabhupada said something like that, some big amount he said. So if you send to BBT $20,000 every week, then you can have Ganesh ji. And the devotee never spoke a word again. After that. So Prabhupada wanted devotees, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, to focus on pure devotional service without any distraction. Actually, the Pandavas were such a pure devotees of Krishna that they were constantly remembering Krishna 24 hours a day. Worshipping Surya and getting this bowl, or you know, worshipping Shiva and getting Pashupatastra did not distract the Pandavas from loving Krishna constantly, 24 hours a day. Whereas, if we were allowed to do that, if we get one bowl from Surya, then we will try for one more from Chandra also. One more from Ganesh, one more from Durga. We will be running from pillar to post all round and round the whole world, getting all different, collecting different material benefits from different demigods. I'll go here and get this, I'll go there and get that. And whom will we forget? Krishna, yeah. Isn't it? So, Prabhupada knows our mentality in Kali Yuga. The mentality is, hearts are full of material desires, and to destroy them, one should simply surrender to Krishna. So, when one surrenders to Krishna and chants the holy name and takes Krishna shelter and gets that protection, that is good enough. And in Kali Yuga is like a crash course. It's like a crash course. It's a short life. Just 70, 80, 100 years maximum. If somebody crosses 100, they have a big festival in India. If somebody touches 100 years, somebody in South India became 100 now. So, I got a letter. They were requesting, please send a Bhagavad Gita and a bead bag and beads for that person. One person wanted to gift him on the 100th birthday. So, I told him, at least now he can start chanting. You know, he's still alive in 100. It's a very big thing in Kali Yuga. In the Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga, people would live practically 1,000 years and 100,000 years. Very, very long life. So Prabhupada did not want devotees to get distracted. Actually, worshipping demigod is not wrong if one sees the demigods as servants of Krishna. Like Arjuna and Krishna are sitting on an ivory bench near the Kandaprastha forest, and Agnidev is coming in the form of a Brahmana. And he is coming and requesting Krishna, Arjuna, can you please help me? So Arjuna knows Agni and Varuna, Indra, Chandra, Vayu, they are all subordinate to Krishna. Of course, Arjuna is acting in the capacity of a friend of Krishna. But all the Pandavas are also aware simultaneously that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are not like the ordinary conditioned souls who think Krishna to be one of the devatas like any other devata. They are not like that. So, why the material desires are so strongly condemned in the scriptures? We may have this question in mind. Why is so much condemnation that you cannot be attached to the things of the world? So one immediate thing we all know is, if you are attached to the things of the material world, we will be stuck up in the material world. Just like that Kailash, you are stuck up in the material world. We cannot progress to the spiritual world. So, I was recently reading in one of the purports of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, why people are attached to material desires? So, we can talk about devotees having material attachment and non-devotees having material attachment. See, non-devotees having material attachment is understandable. Why? Because the non-devotees, they spend their entire life in eating, sleeping, Prabhupada says, mating and drinking, he says, known place. They spend all their life in that. Prabhupada says, eating, sleeping, mating, drinking and making merry, he says. This is what they are spending the time. Because they don't know the goal of life. And also the non-devotees think that, think means they don't know that there is life after death. They don't know. They don't know about the Atma and the Sharif. They don't know the difference between body and soul. Nor are they interested to know about that subject much. They are completely absorbed in materialistic activities. Like that. And also Prabhupada says the materialistic people, non-devotees, they are also trying to prolong their material life. You know why they try to prolong? If somebody can live till 70, they want to do some bypass surgery and become live for another 20 more years. Why? Why they want to prolong? Because they want to prolong their happiness and enjoyment. Because they think that when I die, everything will be finished, they think. They don't know life after death, so they want to prolong their life. But Bhagavatam says, what's the use of prolonging your life if you are not leading quality life? Prolonging life is not going to assure that our life is going to be something different. People are going to do the same activity. Say for example, somebody says, I will go to Chandraloka or some other planet. What will you do there? Prabhupada is asking. You will go there, again you will start the same business. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Then you go to Mars. What will you do there? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Business is the same. Even if you go to other planets or even if you prolong life, then what's the use of your prolonging life? Even the trees are living 7,000 years, 5,000 years, 6,000 years. So, long life is not useful, but a quality life is important, according to Bhagavatam. So, quantity of years we live is not very important. Quality of life. Shankaracharya lived for 32 years only. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived 48 years. But the impression they had on the people of the world is so deep for many, many centuries to come. Whereas there are trees in America, redwood trees, which live for 5,000 years. What impression they create? You know, they come, they live for a long time, they're dead and gone, and nobody talks about them. So, and nobody benefits from them. In this way, Bhagavatam condemns the materialistic people, non-devotees with material desires. They're already condemned. They are called as a vipada pashu, two-legged animal. They are counted like that. Coming to devotee circle, now we all know I am not the body, I am the soul, correct? We know the truth. Then why do we have material diseases? We should not have material diseases, ideally speaking. Because we know the truth that I am not the body, I am the soul, and I belong to the spiritual world. I don't belong to the material world. And none of these material things can give me happiness. Dhanam, Janam, Sundaram and all these things. We know these things. Despite knowing these things, why we can't give up our attachment to them? Why? So, we find, we will answer this question as we proceed. We find that Dhruva Maharaj, when he went to forest with that great ambition of getting a kingdom greater than his grandfather, you know, he went and performed penance for getting that big mahal and everything. See, in his prayer he is saying, why should we not ask for material benefits from the Lord? We can know from Dhruva. Why should we not ask for any material benefits? Firstly, he says, this body is like a bag. The skin is like a bag, he says. Like we have the goni, you know, sack. His body is like a sack of what? Flesh and bones and stool and urine and bile and all obnoxious substances. And to get enjoyment from this body in terms of, you know, eating palatable foods, seeing temporary beauties, hearing some melodious sounds, with this body to try to enjoy is like enjoying a bag of skin, he's saying. Kunapopa bhogyam, he's saying. And such kind of temporary pleasures available for this body are available even for those who are in hell, he's saying. Even those who are living in hell. Hell means like, for example, a pig is eating stool, for example. It's living in hell. Such horrible food he's eating. Even such a pig is getting eating, sleeping, mating, defending, he's saying. Then why should a human being hanker for it? That is his argument. Everyone is getting it. Donkey is getting it. Dogs are getting it. Pigs are getting it. Why should we hanker for it? Such a low class, 10th grade happiness. One should not chase after that. That is the first argument he says. And then he says, higher than the material pleasure, with this material body, is the heavenly pleasures, which last for a longer duration of time, and higher standards of happiness in heaven. And higher than them is the Brahmananda, he says. Brahmananda is oceanic in comparison to material pleasures. And that Brahmananda is considered a small drop in front of the Bhaktiananda ocean. Bhaktiananda is a vast ocean in front of which Brahmananda becomes like a small puddle or like one drop of water. So, he is comparing the happinesses. The happiness of eating palatable foods or sex life is very, very short-lived. Material pleasure, then heavenly pleasure, then Brahmananda, then Bhaktiananda. Bhaktiananda is so vast, he says that it is everlasting, it is eternal. We go to a zone of timelessness by experiencing Bhaktiananda. So there is no point chasing after the small, tiny, petty pleasures that you acquire from material objects. Now, I thought about this very deeply, that, for example, the same object can be with two people. But one may feel happiness, the other one may not feel happiness. Say, for example, if one is attached to a bike, say motorbike, for example. If he sees that there is a beautiful new bike, and some people are mad for driving bike. If somebody brings a new bike, they will say, can I give a test drive or something? I want to do a test drive. You sit in the back. You feel great happiness going for a ride and coming. Isn't it? Now, if I see a motorbike, you know, I cannot feel any fascination because I don't know how to drive a motorbike. I didn't drive only. Isn't it? So, when you see the same object may be very fascinating to one, but may not be fascinating to another. That's why I was telling, we should take an inventory of our material desires. Because the objects around us is the same. Like, you know, everyone is surrounded by the material things of the world. In the form of wealth, and like Bhagavatam calls the gold as yellow stool. You find. Why? Because people are mad for gold. So, I used to always wonder, why should they be mad by seeing the gold biscuits? How is it different from a stone or a pebble, or how is it different from a wood or anything like that? But you have seen people becoming very fascinated by seeing gold. You have seen gold ornaments or nose ring or any jewelry like that made of gold or gold biscuits. Some people are mad for it because that kind of attraction is there in the mind. So, the material desire can be seen by individuals themselves. The attachment that they feel for it. But we may not feel attachment to one material object, but we may feel attachment for another. We may not feel. For example, it may be very easy for one to give up gold or silver or wealth or even women or even palace, even all these things. But there is one subtle material desire which comes in the heart when one renounces the world, which is pride of renunciation. Which is also a material desire. One thinks, I will give up the lower, gross material things of the world so that people will say that I am very detached. I am a Mahatma. I am a great soul. I am a great Vairagi. You know, people may think of me to be a very great soul. So that desire is also a material desire, which is called a subtle sex. Which is a very great stumbling block for the sadhus, renounced people. They have to give up that desire. To call the desire to be famous as a renounced person. Which means that, according to Rupa Goswami, if a guru tells a disciple that you live in a palace, but if a disciple says, no, 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 Maharaj, I will live under a tree, that means he has material desire. And if a guru says, live under a tree, he says, no, no, Maharaj, the tree is very cold, I will live in a palace, that means he has material desire. Whatever instruction is given by the Guru, a disciple should follow. For Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't be a Markata Vairagi, go back home and live in your palatial bungalow. And he lived at that period of time, before he renounced. So that means he was free from material desire. So material desire means to do something separate from Krishna, to want to enjoy something. That means even if Guru says live in a palace, if someone says, no, I will live under a tree, that means he wants to enjoy living under the tree to prove to the world that I am renounced. To show the world I am renounced. That's why it's a material desire. So, We can have a gross sex or we can have subtle sex. So, but in general, such kind of material desires, they make us suffer more and more. Internally, externally, we suffer and we make others also suffer. That's why Dhrumara is saying, it's available for even those people who are in hell. Why should we aspire for it? Second thing he says, the material benefits are ended by the separating sword of time. He is saying, the material desires are temporary. Material benefits are temporary. Why should we hanker after them? He is asking. For example, as I told you some time ago, we are attracted to beautiful bodies of man and woman. But these bodies, it's ended by the separating sword of time, because everyone dies in this world. Or if they don't die also, the body gets old and the beauty is lost. Why should we hanker after a fleeting beauty? Or if one aspires for a bungalow or a car and all these kind of things gradually they fade away, their beauty goes away, and they are also taken away at the time of death. Once Shamanato was giving a class, in Brahmacharya class, he was telling, we should remember that we are living in a temporary world. He said, and he was telling about Parikshit Maharaj and others, how, great kings had chariots, they had elephants, they had horses, and he gave up all this attachment. There is a verse, Atmajaya Asutagara Pashu Dravana Bandushu. So one Brahmacharya was telling, Prabhuji, I don't feel any attachment to elephants or horses or chariots. And then he was telling, I will tell you differently, he said. He said, when you die, your car will be taken away. He was shocked. He said, car? Oh, I am attached to my car. Yeah, your car is equivalent to Rath, chariot. Isn't it? At the time of death, your laptop will be taken away. Oh, my laptop. For many people, laptop is like a baby for them. Just like for Matajis, they have babies and men have laptops. So, you are shocked. Prabhuji, but how can I give up my laptop? All my data, everything is kept. All the work I do all day. Then the devotee understood what is the meaning of attachment. Because sometimes you study the Shastra, elephant, I am not attracted to elephant. So, we can see that these things are ended by the separating sword of time. They will be taken away. Even though we may be holding on to them, they will be snatched away from our hands. And the time and tide wait for none. It is the time passes very fast. So, we have a choice. Either to become attracted to the temporary things and hold on to them till it is snatched away from our hands and give out a big loud cry and die and go away. We can do that. Or, give them away now only. Krishna, Manasa, Deha, Geha, Yogisham, or Arpila, Tuva, Paja, Nandakisho. Take it all. It's all your property. You only created all these things. You only gave me my body also. You only gave me my intelligence also. You gave me hands and legs. And all these things belong to you. And I will become your servant and you use me in your service. I am your property. And then Krishna will give himself to us. When we give everything to Krishna, then Krishna will give himself to us. And when we get Krishna, we have got everything. There is nothing more to be attained. So he said, we should not be attracted to them because they are ended by separating sword of time. Thirdly, he says, Lord is the personification of all benedictions. He is saying. That means there are different benedictions. A child is attracted to a toy, a boy is attracted to a girl, a man is attracted to money and facilities. So these are all benedictions, different higher level benedictions. Somebody is attracted to the heavenly planets. Yogis are attracted to siddhis, jnanis are attracted to merging in Brahmajyoti and all that. But when one attains the Lord, one has attained everything. Because it's personified benedictions, he's saying. Lord is personified benedictions. And then he's saying, my dear Lord, now that when one attains Krishna, how is it like? He's giving a beautiful example. The same example is given by Vritrasura also in Bhagavatam. Same example he gives here. He says, my dear Lord, attaining you is like a calf which gets to drink the milk of the mother cow. And the calf feels completely protected On one hand, the calf feels protected. You have seen the calves, when they drink the milk from the udder of the cow, they will go and brace with the body of the cow. You have seen that? Wagging their tail also. And the mother cow will be licking on the body of the calf. And the calf will be drinking the milk. And the calf feels very secure, very safe, very protected, very jolly, very happy. And the milk also is sweet. He's enjoying that. Sometimes a small baby, when it is sucking the mother's breast milk, sometimes because the eyes of the child is closed, sometimes he moves his head like this and then he goes away from the breast. That period of time, the child feels so desperate that as if the whole world has come to an end. Again, he wants to drink the breast milk of the mother. In the same manner, a pure devotee's connection with Krishna, when he sees Krishna, when he renders service to Krishna, he feels similar joy, he says. Like the calf drinking the milk of a cow and feeling greatly protected. He says that, I am feeling so joyful by seeing you. All the material objects of this world have become very puny and trivial. They have become insignificant. And they are of no consequence to me anymore now. They may exist. They may exist, but I am not fascinated by them after having seen you. I am completely satisfied. He is saying. So, all the things he said, still Vishnu gave him material benedictions. Whatever he had wanted earlier. After Lord Vishnu disappeared, Dhruva Maharaj was lamenting that what a fool I was, that I was aspiring for such things like this. Asking for a kingdom, and I wanted to take vengeance against my stepmother and all that. He was considering himself so foolish. And then he made that famous statement, material benedictions are, he said, material benedictions are a kind of punishment for my polluted material desires. He made that statement. So, I'll come back to that old statement I made, Shaunaka said that statement. The good and honest people, what they consider as shameful, the non-devotees accept them with great relish, with great joy. Like when a person passes stool, he plugs his nose and runs away from that place, not able to tolerate the dirty smell. But to the same place, a pig comes running to eat the stool. So what is rejected by the devotees as useless, material things, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitamba, jagadishakam, the materialistic people are chasing after that. Whatever is rejected, so the pure devotee actually rejects everything of the material world. He doesn't accept anything for his personal enjoyment. And the non-devotees, they are delighting in them because they have no higher standard of pleasure known to them. They are unfortunate. So as devotees, we have knowledge of the different standards of pleasures. The highest standard of pleasure is pure devotional service. If you see, Prithu Maharaj is asking Lord Vishnu, my dear Lord, please give me 1,000,000 years so that I can always hear your glories. Similar to what Rupa Goswami sang. Tunde Tandamani Ratim Vitunate. Similar thing he is praying like that. And he is saying that, I don't want anything other than rendering service to you and being in the association of you and your devotees. That's all I want. He's completely satisfied in that. Actually, an average man may be shocked to know how this fellow is not asking anything. He's saying that he is satisfied hearing the glories of the Lord. It's very difficult for a common man to comprehend. For that, we have to perform devotional service and experience it for ourselves. So, it doesn't mean one has to give up everything and become a beggar. Whatever situation one is put in, one should be a devotee. Pratap Rudra was a king. He was sweeping the floor in front of Jagannath. And then he pulled the rath cart of Jagannath. Similarly, great kings have appeared on the planet. And they lived as their devotees. Recently I read what qualities appear in the body of a devotee when one becomes a serious devotee. So I'll tell you a very easy to remember acronym. Differ, D-I-F-F-E-R, you can remember. D means disinterest in material life. I for interest in spiritual advancement. F for friendliness with all living entities. And another F for forgiveness. And E for equanimity while dealing with all people. Equanimity, between joy and sorrow, and also man and apaman, in all those situations, to have equanimity, not get agitated. And R for respectfulness. And there is also one more acronym following this. HGTMP. I don't remember what is for M. That's the only thing I forgot. Other things I remember. How I remember His Grace Trebanga Mohan Prabhu. HGTMP. So H for humility. And G for gravity. And T for truthfulness. And P for pleasing to all. The devotee's behavior is pleasing to everyone. And one last quality is simplicity. So these are the qualities that appear in a devotee when a devotee becomes very serious and gives up the material desires. These qualities start manifesting in a devotee. These are the qualities. Yam, anybody knows? I'm not able to recollect Yam. Yeah? Yeah? Yes? What is that? Heart maturity, some other thing. Yeah. Anyway, if I remember, I'll tell later. Merciful is also forgiving. It's not mercy. Anyway. So, when the devotion service dawns in the heart of a devotee more seriously, then all these wonderful qualities manifest in a devotee. How wonderful are these qualities, you can see. They manifest in a devotee. And such a devotee is actually a free bird. He is free of all the ties which I told you before. Otherwise the ropes are tying us from all directions and dragging us. That's the problem with mental disease. That's why Anya Bilashita Shonyam, he says. Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. Actually, why? There is a difference between Shunyam and Anavritam. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, he says. Shunyam means one should actually completely destroy all the material desires. One should not leave any trace of them. And Jnana and Karma Adi Anavritam, he says. Why Anavritam? There is real Jnana and real Karma also. The real Karma is Krishna Seva. And the real Jnana is Bhakti Jnana. That we should have. But covering them is monistic knowledge and fruity mentality. That should be removed. That should be given up. Yeah. So, and the Abhilasha should be destroyed. Why? In the pure state, we have no aspiration of any type of material desires. Only we have spiritual desires only. Only the desire to serve Krishna. Actually, in the material world, if you see, the vector is towards us. Everyone should satisfy me. Everyone should make me happy. In the spiritual world, the vector is exactly opposite. It's towards Krishna. How can I please Krishna? How can I serve Him? How I can love Him? How I can make Him happy? So, this is the direction in which we should begin. Always we should ask at every moment when we do any activity, am I doing it for my happiness or am I doing it for Krishna's pleasure? Am I doing it for my enjoyment or am I doing it for the pleasure of my superiors who have given me the service? So, one has to work on that. This is one homework which we all can do all the time, morning to night. We can always look at the motive behind every action. What is my motive in doing this action? And we can also, as I told you before, take an inventory of our material desires in our heart. Like for example, if you don't read Prabhupada purports regularly, Bhaktivedanta purports regularly, and if our chanting is not of good quality, we will see that just like sometimes an aeroplane which is going sky high, way high in the sky, some 10,000 feet above the mean sea level, sometimes it comes down when it comes to the city, right? When it is going to get down in the aerodrome or something. Sometimes it is going very low. Sometimes you see tall buildings very close. You feel fear sometimes. It may hit the building or something. Similarly, sometimes our consciousness, which is very high when we are in the company of devotees, hearing Krishna Katha, very nicely singing, dancing, blissfully situated, when we don't read properly, Prabhupada purports, when we don't chant properly, then the consciousness comes down. And then we will say we start flying down. There's a lot of fear and danger. We may hit anything anywhere. Isn't it? So there is attraction for opposite sex. There is attachment to objects of the world. The material desires start showing up. And the magnitude becomes bigger. It's a very prominent thing. That means it's a red signal. Immediately one should start doing the homework. Then immediately one should do Shravanam and Kirtanam. Hear and chant and absorb and intensely pray. And then one can again go higher. So in our life we can see like a sinusoidal wave. You know, sometimes we are high, sometimes we are low, sometimes we are high. This is a growing stage in Krishna consciousness. But a time will come when we will become pure devotees one day. When we become pure devotees, we will be free of all material desires completely. So for that we have to burn away all the seeds. The seeds which are constantly tormenting us within our heart. So one boy was asking a question. Prabhuji, should I, attend to the material desires and get done with them? Or should I try to destroy them, not answer them? So what should be done? So the Shastras say both. We can try to avoid the material desires by developing a higher taste. For example, if a material desire comes, yes, we know that we can note down and keep it. I have this material desire. Now how we can get a substitute for that? Like one boy was a guitar player. So he was telling Prabhuji, now devotees telling me don't play guitar anymore. Because now we have become a Hare Krishna devotee. So he asked me, but my hands are itching to play guitar. Because I have been playing for so many times. So then I said, okay, when I went to meet him in his voice, I said, yes, you can play guitar, no problem. Really, Prabhuji, seriously? He said, yes, seriously. The forthcoming festival, you can play guitar, no problem. I said. Then I asked him, do they sing vulgar songs? He said, yes, there are two types of songs. Some are vulgar and some are good. I'll pay for the good songs, he said. I said, okay. And then he said, only thing is, Prabhuji, when I go to play guitar in the stage, I always look at the audience in one direction. Where are my, three or four girlfriends sitting? Whether are they hearing my guitar playing? My eyes go there to check. Are they happy with me? So then what do you think about it? I asked him. Then he said, Prabhuji, I think this is a material desire, isn't it? He said. Then I asked him, what do you think? Is it a spiritual desire? Then he said, yes. Then later on he came and told me, better Prabhuji, I will not play guitar in the college, he said. Then I said, if you still have a desire to play guitar, you can play in our Hare Krishna temple for the pleasure of Radha Kunja Bihari. You can play in our youth program, which is boys program. There is no one to watch you, nobody, no girls are there to watch you. So, I am just giving you one example. Like this, we can see in our own heart, we have material disease. Some material disease can be surpassed by developing a higher taste. And we will laugh at ourselves. What a foolish desire I had. We will laugh at ourselves. But there are certain material diseases which cannot be surpassed. They have to be answered. Otherwise, those diseases become like big rakshasas. Ha 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 ha. They are laughing and sitting on our shoulder, jumping up and down. Are you going to attend to me or not? They are pounding on our head. They will say, you cannot go to temple, you cannot chant, you cannot read unless you answer me. So what can be done? That is why there is a particular method in the Vedic scriptures. It's given that decent way of answering our material desires. For example, accepting grihastha ashrama is one example for that. A decent way of attending to our material desires. So they are prescribed in the Shastra. So those material desires can be answered. Somebody's mind is saying that, like one of the boys, he wants to go abroad. I say, go abroad, study and come, but I will go to Maya if I go abroad. Then don't go be in India. But if I'm in India, I won't get foreign degree. Then go abroad, So people are battling with material desires. I said, if you are going abroad, then you have to take charge of yourself. You have to take the responsibility to remain a devotee. So then we can answer those material desires, but we have to take responsibility. We are taking risk, surely. And we should put ourselves in protection of devotees. But there are prohibited desires, material desires, which should be thrown away. One should not even dream about them. Like for example, if a man is looking at another man's wife, and he is feeling attraction, one should know that is the pathway to hell. Like Ravana was looking at Sita and becoming attracted. One should know that this is because of my devilish mind, which is creating a titillation of metal desires. And I should understand every woman to be my mother. I should always look at her feet. I should never look at her face. So there are prohibited desires. Like if somebody was smoking before, again one is getting a desire to smoke. There is no way to answer that. Nowadays, for example, in South Indians are very mad for coffee. When they come to ISKCON, they have a tough time giving up coffee. But now we have, what coffee is it? Herbal coffee now. Yeah. Similarly, we have herbal tea also. There is no, I don't think there is any herbal cigarette. You know, so there is no way to answer our desire to smoke or desire. So, you know, Isvanas Dhana Swami Maharaj was telling, when he went abroad, he went to one temple and they were giving some, you know, what was it? Herbal beer, I think. They have a herbal beer, they call it, yeah. It tastes just like beer, but it is herbal. It is pure, he was telling. So, we have to know clearly, is it prohibited desire or is it dovetailable desire? We should know. If it is dovetailable, we can dovetail with great care, with great caution. Dovetailing is very dangerous. We should be very careful. And if it is a pure desire, no. Somebody says, Prabhuji, I feel like chanting 4 more rounds. Is it all ready for chant? Who said you cannot chant? The pure desire you can chant. So, we have to see whether it is a pure desire or a doubtable desire or a prohibited desire. You know, throw away the prohibited desires. And doubtable desires, attend to them with guidance from superiors and with great caution, keeping the red signal in mind that one should be cautious while dealing with doubtable desires. And pure desires are what the acharya said, telling us to do again and again. You know, hear the glories of the Lord, chant the holy names, render service, you know, be friendly to Vaishnavas and all these things. By doing them, that will give a swift advancement. So here he says, one should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotees for spiritual advancement in knowledge, he says. So, when one worships Krishna or Vishnu, one gets spiritual benefit directly. Just as Shukadev Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, that if you worship Krishna, you will get spiritual benefit. If you worship Shiva, you will get material benefits in the material world. That is why the Shiva's followers are wealthy and Krishna's followers may not be always very rich. Sometimes Krishna's followers are also rich, but the Shiva's followers are generally very rich because Shiva's followers get material benefits. But there may be rich Krishna's followers like Ambarish Maharaj or Yudhishthira Maharaj, who lived also very opulent lives, being the kings of the whole world. But that is arranged for them by Krishna, of course. But in general, he told that Shiva's followers, they aspire for material benedictions only, many times. But Krishna gives spiritual benefit to his followers. They will get spiritual benefit, then go back home, back to Godhead. That's why he's saying here, one should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement. And don't go to Vishnu or Krishna and his devotees for asking for material advancement or material benefits. Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. Thank you.